Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. People of every imaginable background and station in life want to make a difference with their lives. But how do you do that effectively? How does an idea journey successfully across the wasteland separating fantasy and reality? Well, my guests today, Ron and Arnie Koss, who are the authors of the wonderful book, The Earth's Best Story, a bittersweet tale of twin brothers who sparked an organic revolution, talk about their experiences starting up a business and the ups and downs that came along with it. Now, they were sprout growers and brew makers, and there's a lot of interesting twists and turns along the way, and I'm really excited to have them on the show to share their story. Ron and Arnie, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
It's great to be on the show, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you both here. Now, in the prologue, you write about the word grok. Now, what does it mean, and how does it relate to creating Earth's Best Baby Food? And Ron or Arnie, whoever wants to start, you can go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Lisa. This is Ron. This grokking is when there's this deep connection and resonance between people or between a person and a place. It could be anything where in terms of people, it would be people who are kind of vibrating on the same frequency and wavelength, and where, you know, a lot of explanation and conversation or disagreement either isn't necessary or doesn't happen. And in the case of Earth's Best, Arnie and I both grokked the importance of the organic foods movement, and we understood that in order for it to grow exponentially, there needed to be a company like Earth's Best created.
Yes, you know, I had my daughter's six, or almost six, and I love Earth's Best. You know, I mean, that's what I fed her. And I, you know, I just kind of thought in my head, like, oh, this is, must have been around forever, you know, like not really realizing that back in the 80s, there really wasn't a market for that. And another thing, too, that you talked about in an introduction is that how you wanted to make this paradigm shift, and you're hoping to create, by creating Earth's Best Baby Food, and that paradigm shift had to do with creating more of awareness about organics. And, Arnie, if you can touch on that.
Sure. When Ron and I were traveling around California in the early 70s, we were really, impacted by witnessing aerial pesticide spraying and spraying of the farm workers in fields, and just seeing that there was this paradigm of pesticide spraying that was polluting the groundwater, impacting the health of anyone that was exposed to it. And we realized that we wanted to somehow change that. We wanted to have an impact on reducing the amount of agricultural chemicals that were being sprayed, and we decided that the best way to do that would be to grow the organic foods industry, because that would ultimately take acreage that was being sprayed out of conventional agriculture and turn it into organic agriculture. And so that was the beginning, and it was in 1976 that Ron came up with the idea that, gee, organic baby food would be the best vehicle, the best way to bring organic to the forefront, because if there's a time in anyone's life where they're thinking, what am I going to feed my kid? It's when that kid is vulnerable and a child. A vulnerable child who's going to be consuming food for the first time, and parents are going to likely pay more money for that. And so we believe that baby food would be the way to launch the organic foods movement and move it from the fringes into the mainstream.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you guys did. Like I said, I my daughter eats all whole foods and organic and whole grains and the whole nine yards. And I was actually, it's funny because I grew up in the 70s, but my mother would take me to the health food store and I would look around and be like, what is all this strange stuff? But I was exposed to it. And I know that I think it was Ron, you talked about your first trip to the natural food store. You write, it was something like a walk on the moon, a moonwalk, fascinating, strange, and otherworldly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. But yeah, definitely, you know, like I said, I'm just spoiled now because you guys started something that I'm so grateful for because, again, it was just something that I just have, you know, thought was always, had always been around. Now, before 1976, Ron, you were going through a time, you write, my actions in life at this point, this is when you were, I think, in college, were completely controlled by the fear of falling, of making mistakes and letting my parents down. But then something happened inside you that allowed you to go your own way. What happened?
Well, you know, it really crystallized in a moment, and that moment was I was a junior at the State University of New York at Albany, and I had a marketing midterm, and I went into the library like the good student that I was to study and study so that I would, you know, ace the exam, and I found myself, as I looked at my notes, getting gagging, basically. And every time I tried to study for that exam, I could not do it because I just literally could not stop gagging. And I realized in that moment that I couldn't take that exam, that I needed to change my life, that the pressure to be perfect, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of failing, the fear of disappointing my parents had become so stressful that it, you know, thanks to my marketing class and my marketing teacher at the time, I dropped that class. I never took that exam, and that was the beginning of me realizing that I needed to live closer to being honest with myself, and that started to open up a whole new world to me.
Oh, that's great. Now, Arnie, you write at that time that Ron was tapping into his true self. You referred to as Arnie Inc. You can tell us about that.
Right. Well, Arnie Inc. is a reference to my dropping out of college in the early 70s and realizing that I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where my passions were. I had to go out and discover myself. And in a sense, I was just really on a mission to wake up and begin to take in the world around me and begin to explore in a way that would lead me to hopefully my interests. And, you know, some people are wired in a way where they just don't see the path in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to stumble and bumble and zig and zag. And I was one of those people. And so before I could go out and look at what can I do to make the world a better place, I had to learn more about me, and I had to figure out what I had interest in. And so that caused me to do a lot of traveling, and I had a lot of odd jobs, and sort of experienced the world in a very, diverse way. And that led me to my interest in the environment, in food, and ultimately it took me to the place where I wanted to attempt to play a role in bringing organic foods to the forefront. And so it was it was kind of like connecting with my dreams and then finding the courage to take the dream and try to manifest it.
Now, Ron, at the time that Arnie brought you the dream, that you guys, it had come up in 76, but then it was again in 1984. Ron, I know that you were having a really hard time. You felt like your passion was lost, and you felt you were just, I love how you write this. You wrote, I was trapped in my mind's inability to know how to flower and bear some fruit in this world. And then Arnie came to you shortly after that.
Right. You know, the idea for organic baby food was in 1976, and then Arnie and I periodically talked about it for the next 8 years. During those 8 years, I had been a sprout grower, and Arnie and I did that together. We made brooms together, shaker-style brooms. I was a math teacher. I had started a naturopathic medical program and a clinical nutrition program. And I just had all kinds of interests and abilities, but I just wasn't finding my way to what I really wanted to stick with. And when Arnie came, my wife and I were the first co-directors of the Ronald McDonald House in Burlington, Vermont in 1984. And Arnie came, he drove up in his broomcorn mobile van and said, to me, "Ron, we've been talking about organic baby food for the last 8 years, and I'm ready to do it, and I'm doing it with you or without you." And that was another pivotal moment for me where I had to decide that this is something I wanted to do and stick with or not.
Yeah, and once you decided, when you guys said, "Okay, we're doing this," what was the first step?
Well, the first step was to find a place to actually work, and we found a $25 a month attic space in a building which was on the bottom floor was an optometrist, which is why the building was called the True Vision Building. It was diagonally across from the Ronald McDonald House, and Arnie and I thought it was perfect. True Vision, we thought organic baby food was...
It was a sign.
It was
yes.
a sign.
Yeah.
And so we found a place to work. A friend lent us an electric typewriter. This was pre-computer, pre-fax, pre-Google, of course. And though there were computers, we didn't have one or know anyone that did, actually. But the typewriter didn't have a queue. And so all of our business plans back then had to have a queue wherever we used it written in. And that's how we started, brainstorming and trying to figure out what we knew, what we didn't know, who we could find to help us. And it just we started an odyssey. It was fun.
Wow. Now, you said to start your company, you pulled together several thousand dollars of savings. And didn't one investor recommend you ask your family for, what was it, like $25,000 or something? And that was something that you were not going to be
right.
doing.
Well, the story there is that Ron and I had very little money. We were basically living our lives week to week, paycheck to paycheck. And, yeah, Ron says broom to broom. And, our mom and dad had some money. We didn't know how much, but they were hardworking people, and whatever they had, it was a modest amount of money, and they certainly weren't by any definition wealthy. And we thought about going to them because that would have been easy. They would have maybe helped us out. Maybe for no other reason than they felt guilty. But we didn't really want their money, and we didn't want them to give us money because they were feeling guilt. And so we decided from the beginning that we were going to steer clear of family money. And, just an aside, one of the advantages of steering clear of family money is it forced us to be better because family might give you that money because they love you and so on, but a stranger's not going to give you that money because they love you.
Exactly.
You have to produce something, a business plan, a rationale for your idea that's compelling, that's overwhelming in terms of demonstrating your worthiness as someone to invest in. So we ended up knocking on the door of the gentleman who was a well-known entrepreneur in Burlington who we had been leasing space from. We had been making brooms in the Champlain Mill, and we had a small little space, and it was just seasonal during the holiday period. And we had met the owner of the mill, and, he was very likable, and he seemed impressed by our broom-making abilities. And so we had to start somewhere, and that's kind of like where you just have to prepare yourself to be rejected. We knocked on the door. He said, "Hey, I love the idea of organic baby food, but go find some family members." And a couple weeks went by, and I didn't really have family members to go to, so I went back and said, "Gee, I thought about who I could ask. I don't have anyone." And eventually, he ended up co-signing a note with a bank. So we borrowed the money from a bank, and his signature allowed the bank, of course, to feel great comfort, and that's how we got started. That was the first $25,000.
Oh, wow. Now, you had an angel investor, and if, for people who aren't familiar, if you can say what that is, and also what are some positives and negatives about that?
Well, an angel investor is someone who has the financial means to get involved. They typically are people that not only love the idea that you're trying to give birth to, but they also connect to the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
They have there's some affinity, some connection, and so entrepreneurs are people that don't show their wings to everyone. Angels don't show their wings to everyone, and you never know who you're standing next to that might be an potential angel investor. But they're the people that often put money into an investment early on when the risk is greatest, and angel investors aren't necessarily even financial investors. They could be professional people like accountants, like attorneys that are providing services for free and advice for free. And so those angel investors are typically needed to get many ventures rolling. And in our case, the angel investors were complete strangers.
Oh, wow. Now, again, it seemed like there was some, again, positives, but then there was some negatives that came out of that as well.
Well, one thing is that angel investors often are not necessarily sophisticated investors.
And okay. A
sophisticated investor is someone who really knows quite a bit about the area that the entrepreneur is attempting to jump into. And also, angel investors may also not understand how much money is really needed to launch something. And so, they tended to have a lot of heart and they may be experienced and wise in many realms, but not necessarily in the specific realm of the business that's being or the business opportunity that's being presented. And so sometimes that leads to, let's say, the raising of less money and working capital that's needed, and that can in turn lead to problems down the road. But that said, angel investors, the pluses are much greater than the minuses.
Oh,
because without that initial energy and impulse and trust and passion, many, many great ideas would just stay as great ideas.
I see. Now, the business went through a lot of changes. And, Ron, you write about the bitterness that you felt was carried from one generation to the next with your grandfather and your father, and you talk about how you got in touch with this in order to break the pattern. And if you can kind of tell us a little bit about that. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I mean, one of the, it's like, I think most people think that business is about business. It's like we had a baby food business, and so our story is just about a baby food business. But what I learned along the way is that Earth's Best was and remains, an organic baby food business. But, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a person. I have my own life and life lessons to learn. And one of the things that I learned from Earth's Best is that as Arnie and I lost control of the company to venture capitalists, and obviously there's a whole story behind that as to how it happened. But as that happened, I felt like something that happened to my father and his father was beginning to happen to me. My father and grandfather became embittered business people. They had partners that undermined them or betrayed them. They had large companies, especially my dad, who overtook them in some way, outspended him, and my father became embittered and angry. And as Arnie and I lost control of Earth's Best, I realized that could be happening to me as well. And I didn't want to become an embittered person, and I didn't want to repeat that kind of the lineage, that history. And so I realized that I had an opportunity to create a different story for myself, and I worked very hard to find my way to the sweet part of my Earth's Best experience, and not just kind of have the negativity get cemented and have my life defined by the prism of that negativity. And so, and I didn't want my children to, you know, necessarily have to learn the lesson that I had the opportunity to learn that my Earth's best experience gave me.
Mm-hmm. And Arnie, for you, it's hard to say, like, what is the most important thing you learned, but what would you say just in terms of the overall experience? What has stayed with you?
I think what's stayed with me is that anything is possible, and that our success is so sweet because in some ways we have this success, the type of success that money can't buy. Ron and I took a chance. We went through an awful lot, and the outcome was Earth's Best Baby Foods,
mm-hmm.
which has fed millions of babies, has had a tremendously positive impact on the amount of organic farmland that is now, in production, and provided a choice for parents that prior to Earth's Best, going back before 1987, there was no choice. There was Gerber, Beechnut, and Heinz, all conventional baby food choices, and now, you know, now there's organic, and now Earth's Best opened the door to so many other entrepreneurs who are pursuing their own dreams. And so the sweetness of that, you know, is a dream come true. You know, we didn't have from day one this dream of making millions of dollars. Our dream was directly linked to how can we bring the organic foods industry into the mainstream. And that was achieved in a way that exceeded, you know, our hopes. So I think the message to anyone listening is that even people that don't have pedigree, people without the big the prestigious college degrees and the big company experience, you know, all you need is a dream and a destination, and you know, we are examples of people that took the chance and were proof positive that anything is possible. Because if we can bring Earth's Best to life, then, you know, what other possibilities are out there for other people that are also, you know, imagining the future?
Yeah, well, like
so
I said, I'm so – oh, go ahead.
It's a message of hope.
It is a message of hope, and like I said, I'm so grateful. I think it's wonderful. Your book is wonderful, and your compassion and kindness is so evident in the book, and how you hold to your beliefs and your values. And being that I share your values, it really moved me. It's a really wonderful story, and I want to thank you guys so much for coming on. Now, how can people learn more about you?
We have a website, theearthsbeststory.com.
Okay.
And there are a lot of pictures there and a lot of information. And our book is available at independent bookstores, at chain stores, through Amazon. And I think there's a lot of information at our site.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. If you have a baby, go out and get some Earth's Best. Take care. Bye-bye.